This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's
Taz and Moose. Hey. Ah, yes, it's a good Wednesday morning. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live, Rocket Mortgage, Quick and Load Studio, Rocket Mortgage, with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Got a great show the rest of the way. First hour was fantastic. A lot about the Odell Beckham Jr. trade from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns. Certainly the Giant and Brown perspective coming up later on this hour. We're going to be joined by the head coach of Bradley. Brian Wardio is going to join us. We're looking forward to that conversation. And coming up later on in the program, about 90 minutes from now, Dabo Swinney, Clemson Tigers football head coach, is going to join us as well. So look forward to that. 90 minutes away, we'll talk to Coach Swinney. So everything about Clemson, certainly pro day, what he believes his Tigers are going to do. Trying to repeat as national champs with Lawrence, a quarterback, and certainly seeing a lot of his guys moving on to the next level, Taz, to go play in the National Football League. As you know, the big news last night certainly as was the Garofolo tweet saying this is not a joke, this is real, it's happening. Beckham is now a Cleveland Brown, and he is being traded. And then you get the particulars of that deal, and then you had to wait till about 12:20 a.m. Eastern time, early this morning or late last night, however you look at it, 9:20 Pacific, when Le'Veon Bell made his decision about where he is going to end up, and that is with the New York Jets. 4 years, $52 million, as you had media guys downloading his new rap album to see if maybe he was making his decision
Life's
in some
a gamble,
sort of rap lyric.
Life's a gamble.
Right.
That's what it's called.
That's it. So downloaded, listen to a little bit of Le'Veon Bell's music, and then you get the decision as now he is a New York Jet.
A lot of people thought maybe, and I might be one of them, that because he was kind of plugging at this rap album that he did, Life's a Gamble, is going to drop, and it's like, okay, Vegas, you're connecting to the Raiders. But that didn't happen. No, he's heading to gangrene. Yeah, man. Listen, Jet fans are happy. I'm telling you that right now. This is big. I mean, I put aside the money for a second and the deal of it. Wasn't a great deal. What he cut as far as leaving money to $14 million with the Steelers and all that stuff. But yeah, man, he's gonna be big. It's gonna be huge. It's big for the Jets offense. It's great for their young quarterback. They have a runner back to that level for sure.
Well, they saved some face. And Taz, I look at the Bell scenario, and we talked about Antonio Brown, his former teammate out in Pittsburgh, and ultimately he won, right? He got more guaranteed money, restructured deal, got out of Pittsburgh, ended up in Oakland, ended up with a staff led by Gruden, who believes in him, who talked him up after that trade transpired, right?
Right.
You look at Le'Veon Bell, he gambled and he lost.
Yeah, he did.
Because he not only did he lose the $14.8 million, the Steelers offered him a better deal 2 years ago in terms of a long-term contract. Didn't want to play last year under the franchise tender. You knew his days in Pittsburgh were over after they decided not to tag him when they had an opportunity to do that once again and remain control of Le'Veon Bell. And he's not going to make up for the money that he lost a year ago. Plus, the other thing I wanted to throw at you is this. Sitting out a year as an athlete, everyone thinks, because there's this notion out there, Taz, that, oh, he's fresher. His body's going to be great. This is going to be fantastic. Le'Veon Bell, he might add another couple years onto his thing. He didn't take the hits on his body. And I get all that. But I don't know if necessarily sitting out an entire year of the sport that you play, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Taz, is necessarily all that good of a thing either.
I don't think it is, Moose, and mainly because of the position he plays. Believe it or not, it's crazy as it sounds. If it's somebody who is, I don't know, let's say a safety, a guy who plays an open space more, or a split end, a wide receiver, where he's not getting hit every single play. You know, a running back to the level of Bell. Now, he's great out of the backfield. He's great at catching passes, you know, in the flats. And he's a dual threat in the pass game, too. We know that about Lev Bell. That's going to be great for the young quarterback, Sam Darnold, for sure. But getting hit all the time, your body builds a certain callus to it, right? It's just like in wrestling. The more you bump, the more you're in the ring working, you build a certain callus. When I say callus, I don't mean an actual callus. But there's a certain rigidness your body builds. When you're out a year, a full year of getting hit, no matter how much training you're doing, you're not getting hit at the highest elite level on a weekly basis. That callousness kind of goes away. So to the point you're making, I don't think it's great that he sat out a year. I think he's got to get his sea legs under him and get used to getting hit again. And a lot of these NFL teams, most of them, they don't hit like they used to in practice.
Right, the sharpness
of the cuts. Not doing Oklahoma drills and nutcracker drills. And those are gone.
And, Taz, you never know. I mean, everyone ages a little bit differently, too. So you're never exactly sure about when that initial burst, first step, everything and the like, maybe instead of being a half a second quicker, you're a half a second slower. You never know. Now, he's an ultimately patient running back. I mean, per 100 attempts, right? For any running back that... You know, per 100 attempts, you know, nobody spends more time behind the line of scrimmage than Le'Veon Bell. He averages 3 seconds behind the line of scrimmage before he is able to patiently wait for his hole and then bust through, breakthrough, and absolutely explode. I mean, that's Le'Veon Bell. He does it differently than everybody else. Now, from the Jets, I think it's a home run, right?
Oh,
even
God,
with all those concerns, it's a home run.
Yep.
They signed Le'Veon Bell to a contract with $35 million guaranteed. He didn't touch what Todd Gurley got, which was $45 million guaranteed. They get him at 4 years, $52.5 million. It's a sensible contract for a really special player.
Right, right.
And if the year off didn't affect him, Taz, he's the best all-around. I mean, right there with Saquon Barkley, but he's done it longer. He's the best overall running back in the National Football League because instead of – you could actually line Le'Veon Bell up at the wide receiver position.
That's what I'm saying. He's a dual threat in that regard.
And he can run those kind of routes.
Yeah.
It's not just the dump-offs saw last year with the Giants with Saquon Barkley. He's an exquisite talent. And the Jets needed that. They needed Le'Veon Bell to ultimately make the decision to take their offer. There wasn't a big marketplace. It wasn't robust. There were conflicting reports of just how in on Le'Veon Bell the Baltimore Ravens were. The Chicago Bears weren't really all that much into him. The Oakland Raiders didn't have that kind of money to spend. You know, everyone told you the Jets were the favorite because they had the most money to spend, could offer him around the contract he's looking for, and all that proved to be correct. And you knew Le'Veon Bell, after leaving $14-plus million on the table last year, Taz, wasn't all of a sudden going to sign at a discounted rate. He wanted to at least get a significant contract. And he got $35 million guaranteed.
I know. And for the Jet fans that were early in the day yesterday, freaking the you-know-what out because Anthony Barr did an about-face and said, you know what, the excellent linebacker from the Vikings, you know what, I am not going to go to the Jets. Change of plans. Hold on a second. I am going to go back where I just was. I'm going to go and get a five-year deal over $67 million back to the Vikings. And the Jet fans like, oh, Anthony Barr, you suck. That's not cool. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're freaking out.
I've got a problem with that.
Yeah. What? That he did that?
I got a problem. Yeah.
Well,
I do
there's
have,
two
I,
trains of thought on it, but go ahead.
I'll give you my thought here in a second.
Yeah.
You know, I do have a problem. And listen, you can do whatever the hell you want to do, and people are going to, and I know the deal's not going to become, and we've seen these kind of issues before in the past, but to give somebody and basically tell an organization, yeah, I'm in. And to verbally agree to a deal, and then to back out of that deal, to be honest, I hate that. I hate that. I mean, because if you had no intention of leaving Minnesota, which I don't necessarily believe is true, he wanted Detroit, he wanted Patricia and the Lions, reportedly, and the Vikings, the early reports were that they did not have the money to offer the kind of contract that Anthony Barr had. To verbally agree to a contract and say, yes, I'm in, I'm signing up, and for the Jets then to move on to other priorities and then to go back and say, I'm going to then go back to Minnesota, I have an issue with
that. I understand your issue. A couple of things I want to say, though. I believe it more or less he agreed to terms, the verbal terms. So it's a little different than agreeing to the contract. That's a little different. So, but I get your point.
Taz, they agreed semantics. To the contract. Well, yeah, I mean, okay. He agreed to become a Jet.
I want to ask you a question. If I don't know, you've signed a lot of contracts in your career, just like me. Honestly, has this ever happened to you?
No.
This has happened to me. So, and I did what Anthony Barr did. This has happened.
Yeah,
this was years ago.
I had
reasons. And there's reasons that sometimes you do make, and that's why there's contracts that have people's signature on them, as you know, just how we work here and how these players are. And you get until that thing is signed, man, it's not guaranteed. I don't have a problem with Barr did because he didn't break the law. He didn't do anything wrong. It might
no,
not
I'm not
be,
saying he broke the law.
He just he's.
I give someone my word that I'm going to be signing with them. I would think that would mean something. But Barr doesn't mean anything.
No, I think that's unfair. Frankly, I think that's unfair to say that about the guy because you don't know, and neither do I, the details of what happened and why this happened. We don't know that. You're never going to know unless you're in
that. Well,
that's
not true. Him and his agent, he said after he agreed to go to the Jets, he felt sick to his stomach, and his agent went back to Minnesota.
Yeah, but there had to be a reason why he felt sick to his stomach. That's what I'm saying.
He didn't want to leave the Vikings.
Dude, it could be a Moose. It could be so much more. I mean, I think it's unfair to put this in a box and say, this is what it is, that's it. It could be a family thing. No, I'm just saying it could be a family thing. It could be somebody, a significant other of his, don't want to go to New York.
Well, then you make the decision. But then,
we don't know that.
Well, but hold on a second, Taz.
No, but I mean, we don't know that, though, Moose.
But hold on a second. If a family member doesn't want to go and live in New York, you should know that before you get into contract negotiations.
I know that. You're right.
I mean, that's being irresponsible.
Moose, you're right. In a perfect world, right. Until it happens to you, I'm just telling you, I can't sit here and say. I mean, we're entitled to agree to disagree.
I mean, listen, my opinion is
that's cool. I respect your opinion.
My opinion is I look at Anthony Barr, and I think if you tell a team, first, if I have no intention of playing someplace, I would not get into contract negotiations with that place. I would if a family member doesn't want to live in New York. And I don't think that's the case.
And I'll just use that as an example. I don't want to get stuck on the family thing.
Yeah, but
there's a lot of reasons why these things turn.
But if you read Connor Hughes on The Athletic, who went a deep dive last night on what exactly transpired was after he officially agreed to go to the Jets, he felt sick to his stomach about leaving Minnesota and leaving his spot on that defense with the Vikings, and basically went back to Minnesota and said, if you could come close to the offer that the Jets are making, I'll come back to you. Which is, to me, is complete bogus.
If that's all the truth, just because it's written, just because it's reported, just because he or his agent is spinning it to the public that way, doesn't mean that that's the gospel truth. That's all I'm saying. I'm just telling you from experience, you live things a certain way. There are things that happen and why you make decisions and change your mind, and then you put something out to the public that's different. I've done it. I know guys that have done it.
I'm just saying, it's tough for me to get that. Every situation's differently, but I'm going to take that as the word.
Okay, no, I hear you.
I'm going to take that.
That's fine.
That's fair. That's okay. But if I look at that, and he had trouble after he had complete buyer's remorse initially after he had agreed and told the Jets they were coming, and that that he was agreeing to that deal and the structure of that contract, and it was going to become official today at 4:00, and then to go back to Minnesota and use the Jets
as leverage, to me,
that's awful.
Moose, if it's all true and you believe it, I believe what's out there, that's fine.
I know Connor does a great job.
I'm not knocking the guy Connor. I don't know him. I'm just saying that's fine, and I respect your opinion. I respect what you're believing. That's cool, and you're probably right. And if you are right, and this guy Connor's right, and this is what the deal is, yeah, then with Anthony Barr doing that, that's not right. That's wrong. I'm just saying I do think a lot of times there's more to it to that. And that's why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Now, he's going to go back to the team he just left, Anthony Barr. He's going to be loved in that building. He is the biggest baby face in town.
No, yeah, but I mean,
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
no.
For the Viking fan, they don't care. I mean, they get their linebacker back. They get a guy that's been a 3-time Pro Bowler. Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Right.
They don't care. They went back to the Vikings before the night it was over. It's not like they went back to the Vikings after he woke up the next morning.
Right.
It came out at basically 8:00 Eastern time that he was going to the Jets, 8:30 Eastern time. Before the clock struck midnight East Coast time, they were talking to the Vikings.
Moose,
there's nothing that could change in the span of 3 hours.
I'm not,
In the span of 3 hours, I'm sorry. In reality, there's nothing that's significantly going to change. You have to have an idea of where your family wants to live. You have to have an idea if you're all in on leaving the Minnesota Vikings. Right. If you're not all in on leaving the Minnesota Vikings, then you should never. Well, I think that's. I honestly have little respect for a guy that does that. I have little respect for that.
If that's what he did, then I believe
that to be the case.
But you know what? You know what? Look at it from the player perspective. I bet you if you talk to 10 players in the league, at least 9 of them would tell you they have no problem with Barr did. Because you know what? That's what ownership does. They're going to leverage guys. They're going to leverage people. They're not going to break word, but they're going to leverage.
Well, he broke word.
He broke word. But he did. But the thing is, you're working in a business where it's about signing contracts. That's what he's doing. He didn't sign a contract. So I don't have as big of a problem as you do. I respect what you're saying. Well, I understand what you're saying. And you're more than entitled to that. You know the guy who's getting the information. I respect that too.
Well, but tell me.
But
the
I
team,
lived it.
I'm just telling you my stance. But tell me the team that verbally agrees to sign a player that then walks out on that deal.
No, I can't tell you that. You're taking what I'm saying out of context. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is there are a lot of times, as you know, teams are behind the scenes. They're definitely playing players against players. It happens all the time. I mean, we just talked about Perriman. What happened with him? Dorsey knew that. They signed him, and then they did the right thing. Dorsey did the right thing.
Right.
But how do you think that guy felt? How do you think his family felt? He thought he was locked in, and next thing you know, they bring in this mega receiver for the Giants.
They didn't walk out on the deal. It's not like John Dorsey went back to Brashad Perriman and said, we're not going to pay you $4 million.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
we're talking about playing time.
Hold on. I'm talking about a deal first. Perriman wouldn't be playing. I get it. That's why he wanted out of there. He did the right thing. But my point is, when he did the deal, him and his agent, with the Browns, they meaning Perriman and his people, had probably no knowledge whatsoever that Beckham, of all players, is going to be coming into Cleveland.
No, I don't disagree with you there.
My point is, Dorsey probably knew there was some chatter behind the scenes, but they kept it on the down low. They don't want other people to know that. They don't want to hurt their deals that they're working with.
Well, because
But
if you're Dorsey,
that's management.
When you sign Perriman, you have no idea that the Beckham deal then is going to go down. Number one. And number two is they didn't walk out on the contract. They were still committed to paying Perriman $4 million. Then we're getting into the debate about opportunity.
So do you have a problem with Dorsey using Perriman as a contingency plan?
No, he had no idea he was going to get.
So you don't think Dorsey had any inkling whatsoever that there's a chance he's going to get Beckham?
Definitively, no.
I didn't say definitively. I said any inkling.
No, of course he had an inkling.
That's what I'm saying.
They had conversations.
Of course, that's what I'm saying, bro.
That's not a comparable situation.
Listen, we could agree to disagree. It's all good. No problem.
It's not comparable.
Because
it's really not.
Yes, it is. Because my point is management will use players and use them in certain ways.
How was Brashad Perriman used?
He was utilized as a contingency plan. Let's get Perriman in here. We'll lock him in for a year.
Of course, but they were going to pay him.
I know they were going to pay him. But the point is, these guys want to play. You're not going there to watch.
They would
not have talked to Perriman if they thought for sure they were going to lock in Beckham.
Well, right, but that's the point I made. So they weren't sure they were going to lock in Beckham.
Well, I think you're missing my point. My point is that...
I get your point.
My point is Anthony Barr did use the Jets probably.
Before he put his head to the pillow, he went back to the Vikings.
And you know what? If I'm him, I'm sleeping like a baby.
Because it's business. But doesn't mean I have to respect you.
Because it's business. No, you don't have to respect them.
I don't have to respect them. I don't think that's... I don't think if I give someone my word, I'm going to sign off, aside from... a calamitous family issue, aside from anything like that. And I don't believe any of that played out in the Anthony Barr scenario. He had buyer's remorse.
Okay.
Then you know what? You have to then, before you agree to the Jets deal, because he was all in on going joining Patricia and the Lions, before you agree to the Jets deal, then you have to sit down and say, all right, let's go back to Minnesota.
Okay.
Let's go back to Minnesota.
What am I going to say? I'm not going to try to
And they did it. He agreed to the Jets deal. Then he went back to Minnesota.
I'm just speaking from experience. That's all I'm doing. But it's fine.
Everyone's experience is different.
I know, but I had an offer, and I verbally agreed to it, and then I pulled out of the offer.
So I'm sure you had your reasons at the time.
I did, and I'm still comfortable with those.
Well, that's fine. It doesn't mean that I have to respect Anthony Barr for backing out. I think if you give someone your word, you're signed in, locked in.
I understand. That's great if you can do that, and most of the times that is what happens.
Well, there's not an organization that backs out of the deal unless someone gets into a car accident, a motorcycle accident, something of that nature. There was a report yesterday, Ryan Shazier, the Pittsburgh Steelers are paying him $600,000 this year
right. So
he can get the benefits in the National Football League. I mean, you have organizations that take care of players as well.
Moose, you're sitting here acting like I'm attacking management. I mean, I'm just telling you that there are players are about players, and they're about getting... You have a short window of leverage, and it's before you sign your contract. And that's what Anthony Barr did. He utilized what he can do before he signed his deal.
To make less money.
I'm talking about where he wanted to be. It's not always about the money and the term.
Don't agree to the deal.
Moose, I can't speak for the guy. I'm just letting you know how it is when you're on the other side.
You have
a short time of leverage.
Teams as leverage. We've seen it before. The Jets felt like they were being used as leverage for a number of negotiations across the year. You know, Whitfield, you look at Hightower, all that. They won't agree to the deal. You can take the Jets offer and go back to Minnesota and say, this is what the Jets are offering. You know, if you can't match it, I'm going to go be a New York Jet before you give the Jets the verbal agreement that I'm coming here.
I don't see how it's a problem. Again, it's your opinion. That's cool. I don't see how it's a problem. You know, then why today should anybody sign a contract? Well, they gave their word, so that should be enough. No, you got to sign contracts. You have a contract. Your contract's signed. Your contract isn't good till you sign your contract.
Then what is the point of the last 2 days then?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
point of the last 2 days is that you have an opportunity to negotiate deals.
Right. So
CJ Mosley's going to stand by his word. He's going to take the 6 year, $81 million deal.
I know he is, but
all these other teams, the center for the Broncos, right? Paradis, you don't think he's going to sign the 3-year, $27 million deal?
Morris, with
the Broncos,
$44 million.
Le'Veon Bell, $52.5 million.
Go through the whole list. We can go through
every single player. There's been one guy that basically told an organization, "I'm going to go here,"
right,
and then walked out.
So
before
what?
He put it,
I've
got a problem with that.
No, but anybody, and I don't.
I've got a problem with that. Don't tell the team you're going to come.
That you don't.
I can use that offer as leverage for another team. I can take that offer before telling the Jets I'm going to come here and be a New York Jet. I can take that offer, go back to Minnesota and say, I want to be a Viking. He took less to go to Minnesota.
No problem.
So he didn't even use the leverage properly.
Okay, no problem. So like I said earlier, we agree to disagree. You have your last word. You win. No problem. Okay.
No, there's no winning. It's a good discussion.
I'm just telling you, man. 855-212-4227.
What's your take on Barr leaving the Jets high and dry to go back to the Minnesota Vikings? Plus, Le'Veon Bell is a Jet. Want you on the phone. It's 855-212-4227. Taz Moose, Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, Moose, when it's time to make it hire for your small business, you want to find the best person for the job, and odds are the person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn makes it easy to match with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn uses knowledge of both hard and soft skills to match you with the people who fit the role the best. People who come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers. So LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. Okay, your matches are based on skills and background interests, activities, and passion, guys. Okay, so you get a group of the most relevant, qualified candidates for your role. That way, you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire that you're excited about. That's the key, right? Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. So post a job today at LinkedIn.com/Taz and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/Taz.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, March Madness officially kicks off with the NCAA selection show. CBS has the big reveal and breakdown of the brackets. Find out if your team is in, where it will go Sunday. This Sunday at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, only on CBS.
Funny, we're hearing a little Limp Bizkit right there. I was actually yesterday, I was watching I don't normally do this on YouTube. I was actually watching a concert of recent with them from like 2017, 2018. And that's Fred Durst, for those that don't know the singer, right? And, dude, his voice, he's got to be 48 years old, 49. Like, even if you're not a Limp Bizkit fan and you watch this on YouTube, the guy sounds exactly the same. Like,
well, there you go.
And you know, his body looks like everything about him. Like, he looks the same, just a little bit older.
Where were they
like,
playing?
Something called Hellfest. I know it sounds crazy, with one L. I'm not joking. I don't know where that is.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's in the UK because it was the BBC that was on there.
Must be then.
It was the BBC YouTube. I always watch UK stuff, English stuff. I'm a big fan of that on YouTube. It's kind of.
Nope.
But anyway, yeah. So it was pretty cool. If you're a Limp Bizkit fan, check it out. Hellfest. It's H-E-L.
All the groups still together?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, I think they
guitarist,
are all still together. Yeah.
Guitarist. Whose name is slipping my mind. Him and Durst never got along.
Yeah. So the guitar. You're right. What is his name? He did a... That guy, he did a...
Was he dressed up like he usually is?
Yeah. He was like a clown, dude. Like, yeah. He looked like a nut. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, that's it. West Borland.
West Borland, that's the guy. Yeah.
Him and Durst hate each other.
Yeah, I know. God, man.
Yeah.
So they're back so together. Good, man. They really...
I know, it's been...
So good.
Been a while.
I've always been a big fan of those guys. So
oh, they are, yeah.
Big Limp Bizkit fan.
It's been like 20 years since they put out a record, a hit, though, right?
Well, there's rumors that they got one, like, sitting on hold, like, since 2016, and it hasn't been out yet. That's
why
the
would you sit on it?
I don't know. I don't have the... Good question.
Why would you sit on it for 3 years?
I don't know. I think he's doing. I think they're all doing well financially. They've made a lot of money, as you know.
No, I know. But their biggest hits were like 20 years ago.
I know. But they, I don't know what their new music would sound like. All I know is they could do those hits, and they still sound great.
There
they
you
really
go.
Do.
Very nice.
If you're a fan of their music, you
know. Yeah, no, Limp Bizkit is great.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Bogus. Good morning.
I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Fingertips too wide and nerdy. Fingertips too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
I'm offended by that. This report is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Odell Beckham Jr. telling NFL Network it's bittersweet to be leaving the Giants. A stunning trade last night with OBJ on his way to Cleveland for picks 17 and 95 and safety Jabril Peppers. All of this just weeks after Giants GM David Gettleman said they didn't give Beckham a long-term deal last year to trade him. Now, if that wasn't enough for New York football, the Jets won the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes overnight. How tough the competition was remains unclear. The Niners apparently wanted Bell as well, but the Ravens' interest apparently overblown. San Francisco did get pass rusher Dee Ford from the Chiefs for a 2020 second-round pick. The Saints adding Vikings running back Latavius Murray, and the Bears signing returner and receiver Cordarrelle Patterson. All of these moves can become official at 4 Eastern this afternoon. In the meantime, NFL eyes on Kyler Murray and Oklahoma's Pro Day later this morning. If only this was happening about 6 weeks ago.
Porter goes flying to the rim, stolen by LeBron. LeBron on a clear out to Hart. Hart alley-oop off the board, and LeBron with a spectacular reverse dunk dances for the camera. Timeout, Chicago.
John Ireland, Lakers radio. LeBron, 36 points and 10 boards in a meaningless 123-107 win in Chicago. LA does end its 5-game skid. The Spurs pushing their win streak to 6, 112-105 in Dallas. The Blazers down the Clippers, 125-104 behind 35 points from CJ McCollum. And the Bucks won in New Orleans, 130-113. A $25,000 fine for Russell Westbrook for his role in Monday's verbal exchange with a couple in Utah. Shane Kiesel, meanwhile, banned for life for all events at the arena. The NBA Players Association took a shot at Knicks owner James Dolan, saying in its statement about this decision that fans must be held accountable for their actions since players can't ban them from arenas like Dolan does to unhappy Knicks fans. College hoops, we will say this slowly, Vasa Pushitsa with a huge night for Northeastern in the CAA final.
OCS on the bounce to Brace. Tend to shoot.
basket. Pusheta open for three. Hits another one. Bombs away. Vasa Pusheta has 7 threes tonight.
That's Dave Ryan on CBS Sports Network. A career-high 7 threes for Pusheta to knock off top seeded Hofstra 82-74. Gonzaga lost the West Coast finale to St. Mary's 60-47, ending their 21-game win streak. Guys?
All right, Selection Sunday is coming your way this Sunday. 6 o'clock Eastern time is the selection show. One of the teams that we know is going to be in, and that is Bradley. As the Braves came all the way back from 18 points down at one point in the second half in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Championship game to win 57-54. Their head coach, Brian Wardle, joins us now. Hey, Brian, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. Congrats on the championship.
Coach, what's up?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, Coach. Talk a little bit about the comeback. I mean, the comeback from 18 down in the second half for your Bradley team. I mean, that is coming back from the depths of despair. I mean, talk a little bit about the comeback and how it was orchestrated.
Well, it was, you know, totally our game plan. Let's dig ourselves a hole and then let's have a dramatic ending. And just like our season has kind of been that type of journey. We had a month of poor basketball. We played really well to start the year. Struggled a little bit, went through a little bit of a slump, and then boom, came bouncing back. I think won 10 out of our last 12 and won the tournament. So it wasn't a shock to us. I mean, being down at halftime, we've done this before. I think 8 times we've come back when we're down at halftime. You don't want to be down 18. That's a little too much. But our guys, they're a resilient group. They stayed together, stayed positive. We knew we could come back. We just had to chip away. It's the old coaching cliche, one time out. Let's win this timeout. Let's win this 4-minute timeout. And, you know, we went small ball. We started pressuring, started switching everything, and just finally got in rhythm offensively. We had some good looks, I thought, in the first half. We just didn't make them. Third game in 3 days, our legs were a little tired. We played 3 physical teams in a row that are really good defensive teams. So it was just a matter of time, I felt like, where we could break out offensively. And then we went for, I think, 40 points in the last 16 minutes of the game.
Wow. Coach, let me ask you, like, bring us behind the scenes, like, at the half. Like, what do you tell these kids? What do you tell your squad, like, to get them motivated, to get them, you know, to keep their spirits up? And, you know, I'm sure there's more than just typical coach-speak cliches there. There's got to be something to motivate them. Bring us behind the scenes. How'd you get that done?
Well, just honestly, it was confidence. We've been here before. Guys, we have to turn our intensity up in these areas. We have to run the floor harder. I challenged my bigs to dive, to run the floor better. And it was more giving them confidence. Like, if we can just do these things a little bit better on offense, we needed the ball to pop a little bit more. That ball needs, like I said, the ball's got to pop like popcorn in the microwave. Got to be moving. And I said, that ball's got to move quicker. We got to get to the paint a little bit more. Let's get the ball inside a little bit more and see if we can get this game up and down. But the only way we do that is we got to get some stops. And we got to challenge the three-point shooters a little bit better. We made too many mental mistakes in the first half of leaving shooters. And so we cleaned that up. Next thing you know, we got the momentum going, and all the Bradley fans that were in that arena. I mean, Arch Madness is a big-time tournament. And our fans came out at a whole nother level. And once we got the momentum going and we cut it to 10 and then to 8, that place was so loud and rocking that you could kind of feel, you know, Northern Iowa's going to have to do something special to try to win this game because we got all the momentum swinging our way.
So hold on. Coach, curious about your obviously we know how big the three-pointer is in college basketball and how it could be the great equalizer. You got 2 guards on your team, Coach, as you know, that shoot over 40% from behind the arc. Talk a little bit about, you know, what Cannell and Brown mean for you.
Well, they're weapons. I think when you have – I got some inside-out offense, and I think we've been a streaky offense this year. That's where we've struggled. Not down the stretch. I think we've been consistent down the stretch, but we are a team that can explode for 40 points in 10 minutes, 30 points in, you know, 10, 8-minute stretches. I mean, we've done that, and because Daryl and Nate, they can get really hot, and they can rally off 3-4 threes in about, you know, in 2 or 3 minutes. They're really good perimeter shooters. And then D'Lo, our senior, Dwayne, he's shooting the ball close to 40% too. So
yep.
we have an inside out presence. We got Elijah Childs, who's great one on one in the post. We got Koch Bar, Jayshon Henry, Luke Van Bray. They can all kind of get a bucket inside. So to have that inside out presence, I do like what we can do when we're clicking offensively.
Hey, Coach, so you got big plans apparently right on Sunday, right, for the selection show at the Renaissance Coliseum, I see, hey?
Yeah, yeah, free admission. You know, we're a community-based program. Peoria, Illinois, loves basketball. It's a great city. This was big for our city. I think it's giving us a little boost of energy. They love basketball so much. We want to invite the whole community there, and hopefully they turn out and we just pack that place and have some fun and say thank you to our fans who, you know, we led the league in attendance again this year.
Wow.
And Valley has big time attendance. I mean, every city in our league is basketball crazy and supports their program. So to win that, we wanted to come out and say thank you to our fans and spend some time with them on Sunday before the show.
You know, Coach, you can't obviously tell the selection committee what kind of matchup you would like, but you know your team, and you mentioned how you got better as the season went along. What was winners of 10-12 the rest of the regular season? You come back from 18 down in the championship game. Is there a team that you would, you know, matchups make games, and certainly matchups lead to upsets? When you look at your Bradley team, is there kind of the schematics of a team you'd like to see you get matched up with in the opening round?
Well, I'd like to see a team that doesn't grind you out and defend you like everybody in our league does.
You want to play open. You want to get out there and run.
Yeah, I'd love to see a team that wants to get up and down, is more offensive-minded. We really, in our league, it is. We have a very low-paced league. We have a lot of teams that don't play with tempo. We like to get up and down. Like, we'll go up and down and shoot within 10 seconds and play that way. I'd love to see a team that wants to get up and down a little bit and not going to grind us out and walk the ball up and hold, you know, we got to guard for 20, 25, 30 seconds every possession. It'd be kind of fun for our guys to get up and down a little bit. I can use my big man. I got a 7-1 freshman that I think is pretty good. That just, it was bad matchups in our league with him. So I got size that can match high major teams. I got length. And we played well in the Cancun Challenge and won that against bigger teams like Penn State and SMU and beat them. So it's going to be kind of fun for our team to play someone brand new and someone that doesn't really know us.
You know, as you get set for Sunday night, Final One for you, Coach, is that for you as you come back in that championship game, you know, have you been able to take some time here and enjoy the moment, let it all sink in about what your program was able to accomplish this year?
Yeah, you know, kind of hit home, I would say, on Monday and even yesterday, just what we were able to do. We had high expectations going into the year. We had a disappointing January and end of December. And to see our group stay together with all the negativity flowing and just bond and stay positive and improve and keep working and not point fingers and stay unselfish, it was a heck of an experience for us and a lifelong experience for all of us. And I'm just so proud of our guys and happy for our seniors. And to go out and win conference tournament and get back to the NCAAs for Bradley, it was a big step for the program. And every year our program's improved, and we're going to continue to improve next year. So it's exciting times for Bradley basketball.
Well, Coach, certainly is. Thank you for the time this morning. Good luck. Enjoy Sunday, and good luck in the NCAA tournament. We'll be rooting for you and watching, all right?
We appreciate it, Coach.
Hey, guys, anytime. Thanks a lot.
You got it.
Thank you.
That's Brian Wardle, the Bradley Braves men's basketball coach. We'll see exactly where they end up when the brackets get unveiled, as we'll all be watching on Sunday night at 6 o'clock Eastern time, only on CBS.
Locked in, Moose.
Yes, Kyler Murray, pro day, finally here. We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's college basketball's conference championship week. Keep it here to talk about the games on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On a Wednesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The NFL new league year does officially begin 4 o'clock Eastern time today. But a lot of the eyes in the NFL world will be focused in, or some of the eyes of intrigue will be focused in on Norman, Oklahoma. Later on this afternoon, and then around 12:30 Eastern time, because Kyler Murray is going to have his pro day out in Norman, Oklahoma. So this is not just him measuring in, weighing in, Taz. We're going to see Kyler Murray run, throw, do everything that you need to do at your respective pro day as the cozy confines out there in Norman, Oklahoma. So it's going to be intriguing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I like when I think, and I've said this before, I think that all players at the combine should have to compete in all the drills and everything. It just should not. And I think it's fine to do pro days, but I think everyone should compete amongst each other. I want to see guys compete outside of their comfort zone. Amongst all the guys they're competing against for certain spots, in the draft. So, that's how I look at the combine. But the pro day, I'm not against the pro day. I think it's fine to do both. But yeah, so the kid throws the ball great. He runs great. I mean, I'm going to watch. I think it's 12 p.m. Eastern today. I think it is, if I'm correct. So I'm looking forward to watch it. I'm sure you're going to be locked in too, right? I would assume.
I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it on. Clearly. I mean, it's an audition for the most part for one team.
Yeah.
And that is the Arizona Cardinals and their general manager Steve Keim and certainly their head coach Cliff Kingsbury, because everybody and their mother in the NFL believes that without a doubt, unless he implodes today in the pro day, that Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals, and they're going to pair off Josh Rosen. As we talked to Lock and Four about that last week, we had that conversation, Taz, and that's fair. I'm curious to see. I expect him to throw the ball well.
Definitely.
He threw the ball well during the regular season. He won the Heisman Trophy. I don't think Kyler Murray is going to go out there and embarrass himself in any way, shape, or
form. And he's thrown to Sooner receivers. I mean, right? So it's like
it's going
to
be comfortable. Right?
He's in the facility where he or the field that he's. Right, he's in his comfort zone, and as all these pro days are. You know what's interesting though, Pat Sherman's going to be there. He's there, I should say, at the pro day in Norman. And I was seeing that he's going to be meeting with Cody Ford, the big offensive tackle from Oklahoma. I have a private meeting with him. So that's what Pete Guest was calling earlier. So a lot of Giants fans would hope that that big offensive tackle ends up a Giant. We'll see. But
I think every team, you're going to do your due diligence. And certainly Oklahoma,
right?
Besides just Murray, have got some other guys, especially offensively, that they're going to be intrigued with, potentially bringing aboard their organization come late April and the NFL draft. I mean, I think it's fascinating now where you could go from a player of Josh Rosen's caliber coming out of UCLA, where you have an organization under a different head coach, certainly same general manager, where you trade up to go get Josh Rosen last April in the NFL draft, has to where now. The reports out of Arizona were not just the fact that he only had 11 touchdowns and 14 interceptions and his quarterback rating was 38.7, which was the low point in the National Football League. But the other issue you have coming out of Arizona is work ethic. There are a lot of people in Arizona, there were reports coming out that Rosen did not work, that the desire was not there. And now that could be a case of spin coming out of that organization because they know they're going to draft Kyler Murray, but why would you spin it that way? Because you want to try and maximize the value of Josh Rosen. He went from a guy that a year ago was there, hey, this is our future, this is our franchise. We went up and got him. We're excited to right now in the span of a calendar year to where now they're excited about bringing another quarterback aboard and pairing off Rosen.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I don't know Josh Rosen from a hole in the wall, but if he's not working, if that's true, that sucks. I mean, that's bad. I mean, I would assume, especially what's been happening, that his motivation is nil. It's down. The head coach gets fired that he was under. They played horrible. They don't have a lot of weapons around the kid. And now, to your point, everything you're saying, everything we've been talking about with Kyler Murray and all this noise and Kingsbury.
Well, now I wouldn't blame him. I'm talking about during the regular season.
During the regular. Okay. Well, the thing is, I'm just saying, for him right now, God, it's just all of this stuff from when you're saying the regular season, it's got to just be compounded, right? That the poor kid is just, and I'm saying poor kid because he's young. Young guys make stupid mistakes. What is he, 21 years old? What is he, 22? Something like that, right?
Right, but,
They do stupid things.
We all make mistakes when you were young.
Yeah.
I think either you're a worker or you're not.
I agree with that. No, I do believe. That I agree with.
I do believe that, no, you know, when either that is instilled in you.
Yeah, no,
or,
you're right.
Or
you're
it's right. Not. I think there are people that are lazy. I think there are people that believe that things Absolutely. Are owed to them.
No doubt.
I
think entitlement, for sure.
Right, correct.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the generation.
And even, and Taz, even with people that grow up with a lot, I think the drive is there, you know, for some. There's some that are lazy.
Right, of course.
It depends on the individual.
You're right.
Yeah. Taz, I would not, if the reports are true and Rosen's out there, I would not feel comfortable bringing Rosen aboard if he's not a guy that's going to work.
Yeah, that's because that's something you can't coach. That's you can't.
Yes, that's drive.
That's drive.
Either
that's in
you have it or you don't.
That's the fortitude that's in you, the toughness that's in you, to grind no matter what's going on, and that's what separates the big boys from the little boys.
Right.
So,
yeah,
but I
mean,
just that he got to this level, he had to be some sort of a worker. I mean,
well, maybe he was just supremely gifted to
could
where.
Could be.
I mean, we've seen that. You've seen that, right?
The money then doesn't hurt.
Taz Boos, Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.